Son, never stop learning.
Here is a question worth sitting with. Why do some technically brilliant people get passed over while less skilled colleagues accumulate influence? The answer is almost never raw talent. It is usually a system. Reputation signals, dependency structures, timing instincts, and self-control under pressure. Robert Greene published The 48 Laws of Power in 1998, drawing on Machiavelli, Sun Tzu, and Baltasar Gracian to map that system. The book is not a moral endorsement of manipulation. It is a diagnostic atlas of how power actually moves through organizations, courts, and negotiations. Think of it as a circuit diagram. You do not have to run current through every wire, but understanding the diagram means you stop being surprised when someone else does. That is the only frame worth using here. Three older traditions shape Greene's strategic style most clearly. First, Machiavelli. His 1513 work, The Prince, analyzed how rulers acquire and hold power by separating political effectiveness from conventional moral approval. Greene inherits that unsentimental lens. Second, Sun Tzu. The Art of War emphasizes knowing yourself and your opponent, flexible tactics, and the unpredictability of conflict. Greene's focus on preparation, concealment, and timing maps directly onto that tradition. Third, Baltasar Gracian, the 17th century Spanish Jesuit, whose aphorisms on court behavior, discretion, and reputation management run through dozens of Greene's laws. Together, these three sources explain why the book feels simultaneously ancient and immediately recognizable. The power dynamics in a Renaissance court and a modern product organization are structurally similar. Hierarchy, scarcity, visibility, and dependency operate the same way, regardless of the century. Start with the cluster that Greene treats as foundational: reputation and visibility. Law 5 says, so much depends on reputation. Reputation functions like a shared social dashboard. Before anyone meets you, they have already formed a prior based on what others report. In hiring, negotiation, and leadership, that prior does enormous work. Protect it actively, or someone else will define it for you. Law 6 says court attention. Controlled visibility signals importance. But attention seeking without substance becomes a reputational liability fast. Law 16 says use absence to increase respect. Scarcity raises perceived value. Law 34 says be royal in your fashion. Self-presentation shapes how others calibrate your status. Law 37 says create compelling spectacles. Memorable demonstrations anchor perception. Law 46 says never appear too perfect. Visible imperfection makes you credible and reduces envy. And Law 4 says always say less than necessary. Controlled speech signals confidence. Silence is information management. Now Law 1, never outshine the master. This one feels counterintuitive in meritocratic workplaces. The assumption is that maximum competence display wins, but research on hierarchy shows that helping or outperforming a higher power person can be perceived as a status threat rather than a contribution. The ethical translation is tact, not suppression of achievement. Make your superior look good while doing excellent work. That is not weakness, that is coalition intelligence. The second cluster is about hierarchy and dependence. Law 11 says make others dependent on you.
Power research confirms this. Autonomy from dependence is itself a form of power. If you are the only person who understands a critical system, you have structural leverage. The ethical version is building genuine expertise that organizations genuinely need. Law 7 says get others to do the work, but take the credit. The constructive reading is delegation and leverage. The ethical caution is that credit should be shared and collaborators acknowledged. Law 13 says appeal to self-interest, not gratitude or loyalty. Gratitude fades. Aligned incentives persist. In negotiation, this means framing your proposal around what the other party gains, not what you deserve. Law 24 says, play the perfect courtier. Master social tact, read the room, adapt your register. Law 27 says, play on people's need to believe. This is where the ethical line becomes sharp. Inspiring a team around a genuine mission is leadership. Manufacturing false certainty to extract compliance is manipulation. Law 43 says, work on hearts and minds. Emotional buy-in produces durable cooperation. Coercion produces compliance with hidden resistance. Laws 2 and 3 warn that familiarity does not guarantee aligned incentives and that premature disclosure reduces strategic flexibility. Law 10 warns about emotional contagion. Chronic negativity in a team is structurally corrosive. Law 40 says, despise the free lunch. Apparently costless favors carry hidden obligations. Scrutinize them. Third cluster, strategy and timing. Law 35 says master the art of timing. Choosing the right moment is often more decisive than the quality of the argument. Law 29 says plan all the way to the end. Most strategic failures happen because people plan to the first win and stop, anticipate downstream consequences before you move.
Law 23 says concentrate your forces. Dispersed effort produces mediocre results everywhere. Focused resources produce decisive results somewhere.
Law 47 says know when to stop after victory. Overreach after success is one of the most common failure modes in organizations and in military history. Law 22 says use the surrender tactic. Apparent weakness can be leverage. Suppose you are in a negotiation where you have less positional power. Conceding early on a low stakes point signals reasonableness and often extracts larger concessions later. Law 36 says disdain things you cannot have. Emotional detachment from unavailable options reduces the cost of rejection and preserves judgment. Law 8 says make others come to you. Whoever moves first often reveals more information and concedes more ground. Law 15 says crush your enemy totally. Translated literally into a modern workplace, this is dangerous. Humiliated rivals become motivated enemies. The constructive reading is resolve conflicts completely rather than leaving them to fester. Unresolved conflict is a slow leak. Fourth cluster, emotion and self-control. A 2024 study across 7 experiments found that people displaying high self-control were perceived as more powerful and were more likely to be given power, partly because self-control signaled assertiveness and competence. Green's laws anticipate this finding across several chapters. Law 4 and Law 9 together say less, and win through actions rather than argument. Evidence beats rhetoric. Demonstrating a result closes more debates than winning one. Law 19 says know who you are dealing with. Individual differences matter enormously. The same message lands differently depending on the person's incentives, fears, and status. Law 17 warns against keeping others in suspended terror. As a diagnostic signal, this law tells you when a leader is substituting fear for genuine authority. Law 18 says do not build fortresses. Isolation feels safe but cuts off information in coalition. Law 25 says recreate yourself. Identity is not fixed. Intentional professional development is the ethical version of this law. Law 38 says think as you like but behave like others. Cultural awareness and code switching are legitimate. Using conformity as a mask for hidden agendas is not. Law 45 says preach change but never reform too much at once. Change management research and Green agree. Reform fatigue is real. Sequence matters. Fifth cluster, conflict and concealment. These laws are the ones most likely to appear as manipulation tactics in office politics, sales pressure, and negotiation. Treat them primarily as danger signals. Law 3 says conceal your intentions. When you see this in others, it means premature disclosure is being used against you. Law 12 says use selective honesty to disarm. A single genuine concession can lower someone's guard before a larger ask. Recognize this pattern in negotiations. Law 14 says, pose as a friend while gathering information. The ethical translation is due diligence. The manipulative version is surveillance disguised as friendship. Law 31 says, control the options. This is not persuasion through better arguments. It is control through narrowing the decision architecture available to another person. For example, offering someone 2 choices you designed means they feel autonomous while you control the outcome. Recognize this in contracts, sales funnels, and policy design. Law 21 says, play a sucker to catch a sucker. Feigned incompetence extracts information. Law 26 says, keep your hands clean. Responsibility is delegated downward while credit flows upward. Law 32 says, play to fantasies. Law 33 says, discover each person's pressure point. Both describe vulnerability mapping. Law 20 says, do not commit to anyone. Coalition flexibility is legitimate. Chronic non-commitment is a trust destroyer. Sixth cluster, long game influence and adaptation. Law 28 says, enter action with boldness. Hesitation signals doubt and invites challenge. Boldness should be paired with evidence and contingency plans, not substituted for them. Law 30 says, make accomplishments seem effortless. Apparent ease signals mastery, but it should not erase the labor or contributions of others. Law 39 says, stir up waters to catch fish. Provoking an emotional reaction in an opponent can reveal their real priorities. Recognize when this is being done to you. Law 41 says avoid stepping into a great person's shoes. Succession is structurally difficult. The predecessor's identity can overshadow a new leader's agenda. Law 42 says strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep. Identify the central coordinator of opposition. Resolve the source, not the symptoms. Law 44 says disarm with the mirror effect. Reflecting someone's behavior back at them can de-escalate conflict or expose inconsistency. Law 48 says assume formlessness. In unstable power environments, fixed identity and rigid plans become targets. Adaptability is a structural advantage. Power research confirms that power is constrained by other people's evaluations and reputational processes outside the powerful person's control. Formlessness is a response to that constraint. Here is the honest engineering assessment of this book. The 48 laws are not a consistent moral code. Some advocate concealment, fear, and total defeat. Others recommend patience, restraint, and self-control. That inconsistency is actually the point. Power behavior is inconsistent.
The book maps the terrain, not a single correct path. The mature reader uses these laws for four things. First, pattern recognition, spotting when someone is running Law 31 on you, or Law 12, or Law 26. Second, self-protection, understanding which of your own behaviors make you vulnerable. Third, negotiation awareness, knowing when apparent generosity carries hidden costs, or when timing is being used against you. Fourth, leadership judgment, understanding that Law 43 and Law 27 have an ethical line, and staying on the right side of it. The book's most useful insight is not that you should manipulate others, it is that status systems run on visible signals, and those signals can be read, managed, and sometimes redirected. Know when to stop. That is Law 47. It applies to this lecture too. So let me close with the honest engineering assessment. The 48 laws are not a consistent moral code. Some advocate concealment, fear, and total defeat. Others recommend patience, restraint, and self-control. That inconsistency is actually the point. Power behavior is inconsistent. The book maps the terrain, not a single correct path through it. Green published this in 1998, drawing on Machiavelli, Sun Tzu, and Baltasar Gracian. Each of those traditions shares one assumption, that political behavior follows patterns, and that patterns can be studied. The mature reader uses these 48 laws for four things. Pattern recognition, spotting when someone is running Law 31 on you, or Law 12, or Law 26. Self-protection, understanding which of your own behaviors make you vulnerable. Negotiation awareness, knowing when apparent generosity carries hidden costs, or when timing is being used against you. And leadership judgment, understanding that Law 43 and Law 27 have an ethical line, and staying on the right side of it. The book's most useful insight is not that you should manipulate others. It is that status systems run on visible signals, and those signals can be read, managed, and sometimes redirected. Know when to stop. That is Law 47. It applies here too. The existing script has already covered all six clusters and delivered the closing assessment twice. This continuation provides the final ethical reframe, the four mature uses of the book, and a clean stop. Let me be direct about what this book actually is. The 48 laws are not a consistent moral code. Some advocate concealment, fear, and total defeat. Others recommend patience, restraint, and self-control. That inconsistency is the point. Power behavior is inconsistent. Green published this in 1998, drawing on Machiavelli, Sun Tzu, and Baltasar Gracian. Each of those traditions shares one assumption. Political behavior follows patterns, and patterns can be studied. The book maps the terrain. It does not prescribe a single correct path through it. A 2024 study found that people displaying high self-control were perceived as more powerful and more likely to be given power. That is Law 4 and Law 47, confirmed by empirical research. Say less, stop at the right moment, and the room reads you as competent. The laws are not magic. They are observable regularities in how status systems function. The mature reader uses these 48 laws for four specific things. First, pattern recognition. When someone offers you two choices they designed, that is Law 31. When a single genuine concession precedes a much larger ask, that is Law 12. When responsibility flows downward and credit flows upward, that is Law 26. Naming the pattern breaks its grip. Second, self-protection. Understanding which of your own behaviors make you a target. Chronic overdisclosure violates Law 4. Outshining a threatened superior violates Law 1. Accepting favors with hidden costs violates Law 40. Third, negotiation awareness. Knowing when apparent generosity carries hidden costs, when timing is being used against you, and when boldness is being performed rather than backed by evidence. Fourth, leadership judgment. Laws 27 and 43 have an ethical line between genuine inspiration and manufactured dependency. Staying on the right side of that line is not weakness. It is the difference between a leader people follow and a system people eventually dismantle. Power research confirms that power is constrained by other people's evaluations and reputational processes outside the powerful person's control. That is the structural limit Green never quite states directly. You can run every law in this book and still lose if the room decides your reputation no longer holds. The book's most useful insight is not that you should manipulate others. It is that status systems run on visible signals, and those signals can be read, managed, and sometimes redirected. Study these laws to detect manipulation, reduce naivety, protect the people you lead, negotiate with clear eyes, and know when not to play the game at all. Law 47 says know when to stop after victory. That applies here. We are done. Let me be direct about what this book actually is. The 48 laws are not a consistent moral code. Some advocate concealment, fear, and total defeat. Others recommend patience, restraint, and self-control. That inconsistency is the point. Power behavior is inconsistent. Green published this in 1998, drawing on Machiavelli, Sun Tzu, and Baltasar Gracian. Each of those traditions shares one assumption. Political behavior follows patterns, and patterns can be studied. The book maps the terrain. It does not prescribe a single correct path through it. A 2024 study found that people displaying high self-control were perceived as more powerful and more likely to be given power. That is Law 4 and Law 47, confirmed by empirical research. Say less, stop at the right moment, and the room reads you as competent. The laws are not magic. They are observable regularities in how status systems function. The mature reader uses these 48 laws for four specific things. First, pattern recognition. When someone offers you two choices they designed, that is Law 31. When a single genuine concession precedes a much larger ask, that is Law 12. When responsibility flows downward and credit flows upward, that is Law 26. Naming the pattern breaks its grip. Second, self-protection. Understanding which of your own behaviors make you a target. Chronic overdisclosure violates Law 4. Outshining a threatened superior violates Law 1. Accepting favors with hidden costs violates Law 40. Third, negotiation awareness. Knowing when apparent generosity carries hidden costs, when timing is being used against you, and when boldness is being performed rather than backed by evidence. Fourth, leadership judgment. Laws 27 and 43 have an ethical line between genuine inspiration and manufactured dependency. Staying on the right side of that line is not weakness. It is the difference between a leader people follow and a system people eventually dismantle. Power research confirms that power is constrained by other people's evaluations and reputational processes outside the powerful person's control. That is the structural limit Green never quite states directly. You can run every law in this book and still lose if the room decides your reputation no longer holds. The book's most useful insight is not that you should manipulate others. It is that status systems run on visible signals, and those signals can be read, managed, and sometimes redirected. Study these laws to detect manipulation, reduce naivety, protect the people you lead, negotiate with clear eyes, and know when not to play the game at all. Law 47 says know when to stop after victory. That applies here. We are done.